So tonight at 5 o'clock, we're going to start off like we normally do with our kids sing. Then we're going to divide up into six different groups. An elder will lead each group. We're going to have a time of getting to know one another, a time of prayer together, and a time of studying a particular scripture that's been picked out. And then we'll discuss that with our small group. And then I think we'll come back together for just briefly. So look forward to that tonight. I hope you do too. I hope you'll join us. It should be a really good time of growth and fellowship together. So let's start off with our memory verse. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." One more time. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly." John 10, verse 10. The abundant life. Today's growth strategy is serving. And DP read ahead because he came up to me and he said, "How can I be of service to you this morning?" I didn't even get it. He stayed there for a minute and he said, "The topic this morning." I was like, "Oh, man." So serving. How can we serve together? George Washington Carver, one of the best quotes, I believe. "How far you go in life depends on you being tender with the young, compassionate with the aged, sympathetic with the striving, intolerant of the weak and of the strong, because someday in your life you will have been all these." That is so very true. At some point in our life, we have the ups and downs, we have the good and the bad. If we live long enough, we're going to get old. We've all been young at one point. We've all been dependent on someone throughout our life, so we know how that feels, especially when we're younger. And sometimes life situations hit us where we have to be dependent on someone else. There's a way to accept service from someone else in a way that's with humility, with such appreciation that it does you good, and it certainly does good to the person who is doing the service. It is so good when I go and take care of my mama. We all eight of us are still split time and take care of mama, and we've always said mama's a good patient. She's easy to take care of. She always likes to talk and carry on a good conversation, and she's easy to serve. And so we can learn from that, examples like that, of being a person that is easy to serve. It brings joy to the person that's doing the serving, and it can bring joy to you as Miss Norris, Sister Norris used to say, when someone asks, "Can they do something for you?" Let them do it, because it you're letting them be a servant, and so I think that's just a good lesson for all of us to learn from. So from the 40 to the 30, we're getting close, y'all. From the 40 to the 30 in football, what is unique about this area of the field? From the 40 to the 30, somebody tell me. Field goal range, unless you're Alabama, and oh, my bad. They did hit one last night. I'm just kidding. So that's field goal range. That's when you're able to score. That's when the offense has to push a little bit harder. That's when the defense has to dig in a whole lot more. This is scoring territory. That's when we get the ball from there. We get into field goal range. The defense, there we go. So I didn't realize that and plug that in. So it is with our spiritual lives as well. This is where the action really occurs. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. This is where all of our inward focus that we've been focusing on in commitment, in fellowship, in study, in prayer, all those things come together. The virtue that we talked about last week come together. All that inward focus turns out to outward focus. That's service. That's serving. We become other person centered and other person focused. Serving carries us deep into the territories of other people's lives. Our faith may be tested the most during this time and at this point in the game plan of life. When we get into people's lives, getting deep into people's lives, it can get a little messy sometimes. It can be burdensome. It can also reap such great rewards. We may not even see the rewards this side of heaven. But it can certainly lift the spirits. It can certainly relieve the burdens. That's what we're to be about as a church family. We share burdens and make them lighter. We share joys and make them more abundant. Being a part of a family like that is just so rewarding. So continuing on from the 40 to the 30, it moves us beyond becoming to the point of we're getting busy. Stretching from the 40 to the 30 moves us from here. The purpose of everything to this point was to prepare for this moment. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. God produced it. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why study and pray and worship and fellowship? So that we can be prepared and know what God wants for our lives. The Bible tells us that we can be thoroughly equipped. God's Word will thoroughly equip us for every good work that we need to accomplish. So developing a servant's heart gets us ready to engage the world at a very critical point. That point is a place of unmet needs. As we've talked about before, people are bundles of needs wrapped up in flesh and blood. God designed us to be dependent upon one another in some way. That's where a husband and wife, when a husband finds a good wife, he finds a help meet, a person who is going to complete the things that they want to accomplish together. He couldn't accomplish as much as he would without that help meet. She is such a vital part of that relationship that she's to be treasured and valued among everything else. That's why it's important to develop and cultivate a servant's heart within each of us. So it's a two-sided coin. Christianity is not only about cultivating good character, but doing good deeds that manifest good character. Christianity is not about what not to do. That can be a miserable existence of just thinking about, well, I don't need to do that, and I don't need to do that. And that's a negative Christianity, and that's not where we want to be. We want to be fulfilled. We want to be about the things that we know are good and joyful and right, and serving others is certainly one of those things. Christianity is doing what we know we ought to do and we get to do. Let's look at Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Y'all knew we would have this scripture today. And let us not grow weary while doing good, For in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, and especially to those who are the household of faith. We're supposed to be ready to serve all and minister to all, but we especially need to look out for and be ready to serve those who are of the household of faith. You know, as elders, we talk about far too often, really, of the people who fall through the cracks. We don't want anybody to fall through the cracks in the congregation. Everybody's important. Some people take more ministering to. Some people need to be nurtured more. When someone falls through the crack, it's I don't know what it's a reflection of necessarily, but we always felt like we should have done more, we could have done more, we needed to do more. We don't want people to fall through the cracks in our Christian family, in our blood family. We want to minister to everyone as best we can. So what are some hindrances to becoming a servant? Something that might hinder you from becoming a servant. Can you think of one thing that might hinder you from becoming a servant? That's a great one. That's a very good one. You said fear. Fear. Fear of putting yourself out there. Fear of not knowing how you're going to be received. Just the fear of doing something and not knowing how others might think of that act of service. That's a very good one. I don't know who said that, but all right, Lindley. How about priorities? We can get so wrapped up in the cares of this world and the cares of our own daily routine that we neglect to serve others as we should. Having our priorities in the right order, and we do that, again, by all those things that we talked about in the first 50 yards are so important. That commitment and that study and that fellowship with each other and that prayer time, all those things are so important for us to have our priorities in the right order. Does anybody deal with this one? I do. Procrastination, this is my personal difficult one. Sometimes I'm really good at getting things done and not putting things off. Sometimes I'm just not really good at it. That phone call that you're going to make it then. Don't delay that visit that you're going to go and make. Just get in the car and let's go. That phone call, that visit, maybe you're a letter writer. And that letter that you write is so beneficial. I know my family has been the beneficiary of so many kind, encouraging letters. There is still power in the pen. So those of you who are good at writing, keep on keeping on with that work. How about this one? Laziness. Now this is just unacceptable, is it? Laziness. And nothing gets done by a lazy person. They are not a good team member. Laziness, is laziness a trait that is ever admired in anything? It's just not, is it? Laziness is a big hindrance to a servant heart. Motivation. Now, there's several ways we can look at motivation. You know, what motivates you, that's one thing. We can all lack drive and motivation from time to time. Factors can hinder our motivation, like negativity. Negativity is a big motivator inhibitor. I'm not sure if I made up a word there, but it really is a negative effect on motivation. Or the feeling like you're the only person that's serving. That's a hindrance to motivation. And then on the different perspective of motivation, you know, we can have motivations that are not pure. when we're serving. And so our service may be good for the person, but it's not going to be good for us because our motivation, our heart, what we think about the thing is not in the right place. So we need to be careful about motivation and how it might hinder our service. Self-pride. Self-absorbed, prideful people are just not going to be good servants. They may have moments when they serve, but they will never have the heart of a servant until we shake off the shackles, the burden, the weight of the self-pride. Then we're not going to be able to be the servant that God would want us to be. And lack of love. Maybe the saddest hindrance to a person's service and the most detrimental to one's soul would be a lack of love. If a lack of love is holding you back from serving or walking the Christian life, then we need to pray that we figure out how to correct this. A lack of love is a heart issue. And it's a heart issue so much that it will harden your heart and you'll not want to do the things that we should be practicing in accordance with Galatians 6, verse 9 and 10 that we discuss. So, who's our example in serving? Who's the greatest example in serving that we read about? That's the easy one, right? Jesus is our example. He left the comforts and riches of heaven to live a life of pain and poverty on earth. He didn't come to be an earthly king in the sense that they thought about. He came to be a humble servant. He spent His time teaching and healing and encouraging others. For His kindness, He was criticized, He was ridiculed, and He was threatened by jealous people, especially those church leaders of the time. He fed the hungry, tended the sick, comforted the bereaved, and taught the erring. In spite of all the good that He did, people plotted to kill Him, and they eventually did. His service was not an isolated part of Jesus' life. It defined His very being. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to be a servant. So following Jesus is about mercy and not just morality. It is about compassion and not just being dutiful. We can do a lot of things out of duty, but until we get our heart into the matter, then our service won't be complete. Our service won't be fulfilled to the point where we're helping the other and we're helping our own internal spirit. Serving is not always appreciated, just like Jesus' service was not. So thinking about service and forgiveness, serving others is oftentimes underappreciated or just simply not appreciated at all. But you know what we need to do? We need to serve anyway. Occasionally your motives will be judged and you may be criticized or attacked for your service. Oh, they're just doing that for show. You got to serve anyway. Don't let those naysayers tear you down and cause lack of motivation for serving. We need to be ready, willing, and able to serve our fellow man and to serve our brothers and sisters. So many are called, but few will serve. Mark 10, 17 through 22. This is Jesus with the rich young ruler. Now as He was going out on the road, one came running and knelt before Him and asked Him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Don't defraud. honor your father and mother. And he answered to Jesus, I've kept all these from my youth. What else do I lack? Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. He had compassion on him. He hurt for him because Jesus already knew what was going to happen. He said, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell what you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Take up your cross and follow me. And then, maybe one of the saddest verses in the Bible. But he was sad at this word, and he went away sorrowful because he had great possession. He was wrapped up in this world. He was wrapped up in this world so much. He loved the things that he had so much. And Jesus knew what he needed. And that was to give it up and come and follow Jesus. Jesus is not asking an impossible thing of this man. This man came to Jesus wanting to know what he needed to do. Maybe a sincere ask. Maybe a sincere request. He wanted to be justified. But he didn't know. He needed Jesus to open his eyes to what he needed. Then when he heard the real answer, he couldn't handle it. To be a servant, we might have to give up a lot. Are we willing and able to do that? Follow Jesus. Following Jesus and serving others is not always going to be the easy thing. Jesus continues to be our example in the next two passages. Mark 10 and verse 42 through 45. But Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slaves of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. A servant is what Jesus has called every Christian to be. Indeed, that's why he came. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for all. And then in John 13, we're shown one of the most powerful examples in all of Scripture of what we must be as followers of Jesus. Let's look at that together, John 13. It's a long reading, but I think it's worth it. And it's one that you already know. Now, before the Feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that the hour had come that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This is right before Jesus is given over into the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin's hands. And supper being ended, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Judas already knew that he was going to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, put it around himself, and then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. You know, it gives record of right next of him coming to Simon Peter's feet. And Peter didn't want anything to do with it. So he said, no, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, then I have no part of you. And Peter says, well, by all means, wash my whole body then. And Jesus said, nope, if you're already clean, you only need to wash your feet. So we're given the account of Peter. But what do you think? What do you think was going through the minds of Jesus and the minds of Judas when he came to Judas's feet to wash them, knowing that he was going to be betrayed by one of his closest. Jesus still had the heart of a servant to stoop down and to wash the dirty feet of one of his beloved disciples who he knew was going to betray him. That's service. That's humility. That's the example that Jesus gives us. And then he says in the end there, "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garment, sat back down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am your teacher and Lord. If I, then being your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet.'" You need to serve one another. "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." That is just a very, very powerful account of the servant that Jesus was. And what does it mean to be a Christian? The word Christian means Christ-like. We need to be like Christ. If we profess to be a Christian, then are we willing to wash others' feet? Maybe figuratively or literally. Are we willing to be that kind of servant? We sing this song sometimes, "Make Me a Servant." Let's sing the first verse together. Maybe we don't know the second and third verses, but can y'all read that? Maybe. "Make me a servant, Lord, make me like you. For you are a servant, make me one too. Make me a servant, do what you must do to make me a servant, make me like you." We sang that as a prayer. We're praying to God for Him to make us a servant like Jesus. Maybe that's a prayer that we should pray daily. As we get up every day, who can I serve? How can I help someone that is in need? And you know, we're not going to know if someone's in need unless we're involved in each other's lives. So growing through serving. What does service have to do with growth? In the natural course of our lives, we just read that about, we just read the quote from George Washington Carver. In the natural course of our lives, we start out as a baby. We need everything. We have total dependence on our caregivers, on our mama and daddy. And then as we get older, we start to be able to do some things for ourselves. This reminds me of the passage that we'll talk about tonight. Jesus, Peter is telling the people there in 1 Peter to become as babes. So in thinking about the gospel and thinking about the Word of God, to become as babes, in the natural course of our life, we need, initially, we have full need and dependence. In the natural course of our Christian life, we have full need and dependence on Jesus. We can't do it on our own. We can't save ourselves. We needed a Savior. And Jesus came. He sacrificed Himself. He humbled Himself and gave Himself for us. And so, what is our response? Our response should be to learn to serve at an early age. Mamas and daddies, grandmamas and granddaddies, we need to be teaching our children and grandchildren the heart of a servant, if they don't learn this young, then they're not going to, it's not going to come naturally and easy as they get older. Having the heart of a servant needs to be taught, needs to be ingrained into our children and grandchildren so that as we get older, it just becomes second nature. There is an importance to learning how to serve. Little joy is known by the person who is always served and is never a servant. It's just, you're not going to have that John 10:10 life. You're not going to be fulfilled if you're not a servant. If you really want to know what real joy is, then learn to serve. So if we expand our hearts, then we can expand our outlook on life. Service helps you grow by enlarging your heart. It broadens your vision as you begin to notice others that are around you. If you start putting yourself in the mindset of looking for people to serve, then the people in the Walmart checkout line are going to look different. The people at restaurants, your server, is going to look different because you're going to start having the heart of a servant and you're going to start looking at people as souls. You're going to start looking at people that need something and you're going to start thinking, what could I do? What could I possibly do to help this person? We have some people in here that think along those lines. We have many, many people in here that think along those lines. Expecting to be a servant in our daily lives is just a good place to be. No doubt that service is about furthering your growth as you fulfill someone else's needs. So, principles of Christian service. Sooner or later, you too will need help. In Matthew 7, verse 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And you don't have to be rich or famous. Matthew 10:42, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of the disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be a very small thing. But we need to be a servant. We don't have to be rich. It doesn't have to be an elaborate thing. Just have the mind and heart of a servant. Open our eyes, like we've said, to see opportunities. Do not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. Look at the fields. They are already white for harvest. There are people out there that need ministering to already. Just lift up our eyes and see people as they really are. We're created for good works. Service is one of these good works in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then God lets you choose between a life of selfishness or selflessness. Romans 2 verses 6 through 8. Who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance and doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath is to come. God lets us choose what we're going to do. What will we choose? And then in the size of the deed does not determine its worth. Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. The right word, the right time, the comforting arm around someone at the right time is worth more than we will ever know. Service is the truest expression of love. 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us love in word or in tongue. Let us love and not only love in word or in tongue, but also in deed and in truth. You are more blessed when you give than you receive. That's such a biblical thing, and that's what it says right here. I've shown you in every way, by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus, that he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. So, what can we leave you with? The abundant life, Jesus said that he came not to be served, but to serve. He also came to bring the abundant life to us as his followers. Therefore, it stands to reason that if we are truly going to live an abundant life, we must imitate Jesus by becoming a servant to all, to become Christ-like, to become like Jesus. So a challenge for this week. There's so many things that we could think about doing to serve someone else. I would just like you to pick one thing this week, whether it's writing a card to anyone on the sick or shut-in list, or anyone within the congregation. Maybe there's someone that's somewhat new in the congregation that we don't know very well yet. Why don't you reach out to them and try to figure out a time that you might could drop by their house. You might even cook a sweet or something like that and say, hey, we'd like to come over and just chat with you. Could we come over about 7 o'clock after supper? We'll have some dessert, and we'll just talk for an hour, and then we'll leave. We're not going to stay all night. We're just gonna be there for an hour. Spend some time with the brethren. Spend some time with each other, getting to know each other. There are a number of things that we can think about during the holiday season. One of the things that we've done in the past is to find a family to adopt, find someone that's needy in some way, and maybe take that family on and forego whatever you might have been thinking about for Christmas. We have so much, and we have plenty. Think about someone who might not have plenty, and maybe we could adopt them for Christmas or through the holidays. So many good things we can do. Just try to think about being a servant this week and set your mind to serving someone else.